So I want to look at a passage this morning that actually Pastor Rob preached on like a month ago. And I did ask him, I'm like, is this fine? Because I think this is what I want to preach on. He's like, yeah, that's awesome. He's like, that's great. God's, you know, speaking the same things to us. And I know recently I preached on a passage that I preached on like a year ago. And I said something like, you know, it's cool. The same person can read the same passage and God can be speaking something different in a unique way. And I think the same thing is when there's a couple different people speaking on a similar passage. And so some of it will be familiar. Some of it will be new. But I ask that you listen. And we'll talk a lot about listening and hearing to what God might be saying to you. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 8. So it's kind of near the end of your Bible. You can look it up in the table of contents. You have Bibles in front of you. Unless you're in the first row, then you don't. Sorry. Reach behind. But Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read a chunk starting at the beginning. It'll also be up on the screen. And I want to ask, though, as we read, that you'd pay attention to a couple of words. They're the words hear and listen. So basically, they're the same. They're the same word in this passage in Greek that it's translated from, but it's, you know, they're basically the same word in English too, hear or listen. So just pay attention. They're going to be kind of bolded up there to help you pay attention. Or they're going to be golden, I think. Not bold, but gold. So let's read this together. Luke chapter 8. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. This story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they weren't able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So, long section and a lot of hearing going on. I'm sure you noticed as you were watching the screen there. Before we dive in, though, I just want to draw attention to one part of this that might have been felt a little uncomfortable or off-putting or disturbing even, where Jesus is talking about speaking in parables so that though seeing they may not see and though hearing they may not understand. What's happening here? Why is Jesus speaking in such a way that some people aren't going to understand. And so I just wanted to highlight this because I know sometimes we can read these things and it can kind of be like, what's happening? And so I think there's at least a couple things going on here. First, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah. And if you read the commissioning of Isaiah, there's this beautiful vision he gets. I've touched your lips, they're clean. But then the actual commission he gets is probably not the most inspiring one. It's go and speak to these people and say, you're going to be hearing, but not hear, and seeing, but not seeing. Your heart's going to be hard, all these things. Not a very fun commission, I wouldn't think. But as you read through Isaiah, though, it kind of becomes clear that, and we won't read through all of Isaiah this morning, but it becomes clear that it has more to do with the state of the people that Isaiah is talking to, the state of the people of Israel, than it has to do with kind of God arbitrarily kind of shutting their ears for no real reason. It's that the people would not listen, and so eventually, as Isaiah kept preaching, they couldn't listen. They lose their ability to hear. And so Jesus apparently sees some of his ministry in light of Isaiah, where he is also preaching to the people of Israel. And if you read the Gospels, he's preaching to the people of Israel for the most part. But many of them are going to be kind of hardened against the word of God. So there's that aspect. And then I think the other aspect is that there is just this kind of this aspect of like hiddenness or secrecy about Jesus' ministry that comes up actually a lot in the different Gospels. But it's a temporary hiddenness or secrecy. And you see that as well, that this is, you know, hidden or secret for a time. And then Jesus says to his disciples later, but you're going to proclaim it from the housetops. You're going to bring it everywhere. And so there's a bit of that too, even in our passage in Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. And it'll be on the screen where Jesus says, gives this kind of mini parable after his big parable. He says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. So what Jesus is communicating, it might be hidden for a time, but he's saying, that's not the end game. A time is going to come that it's going to be plain to everyone. It's going to be disclosed because it's light, and light's not meant to be hidden away. It'll be disclosed. It'll be shown for everyone. So those are some kind of things that can help us to kind of understand a little bit of what Jesus is saying when he's saying, this is in parables so that some people will be able to see but not really see and hear but not really understand. But even though he says that, Jesus' repeated call in our passage is, hear, listen. Listen well. So right after he tells the story about the seeds and the soils, which we'll look at in a second, Jesus calls out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Or as the New English Translation puts it, the one who has ears to hear had better listen. I don't know about you guys. I feel like I've read this passage and it kind of this like abstract idea of like some have ears to hear and some don't, and let the ones who have ears to hear hear. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying if you have ears that can hear, if you have the faculty of hearing, listen up. Listen up. Use those ears well. Listen carefully. Watch how you listen. There I am. And then the second time is this application point about when Jesus is talking about this picture of the lamp that we just looked at, that it's meant to be, everything will be brought out into the open at some point. And then after that, he says in Luke 8:18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Literally, watch how you listen. For whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. That's that classic line that sometimes it's used to talk about money, you know, them that's got shall get or whatever. But it's not talking about money here. Jesus is saying that as we're careful to listen, he says, be careful to listen. Watch how you listen. As we're careful to listen in the right way, we're going to be able to hear more and more and more. And on the other side of that, as we don't listen, we're going to become metaphorically deafer and deafer and deafer, and not be able to hear. And so Jesus says twice in our passage, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Listen up. And then again, he says, watch how you listen. Take heed how you listen. Be careful how you listen. Jesus is calling his listeners to listen well. And so what does that look like? So now we're going to look at that parable again, the parable of the story, of the soils and the seed that's sown. So we're going to read it again, starting in verse 11. And so not the actual story, but this is where Jesus explains what the story means. And so just to, you know, participation here, every time we see there's the word here, and it is just here, I'm going to just not say it, and I'll get you guys to say it. Sound good? Yeah, okay. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who? And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. It's quiz time. There are four different kinds of soils in the story. What do they all have in common? What do the people all have in common? They all hear the word, right? I don't think that's by accident. Jesus is saying, everyone, he's talking about different types of people who hear what he's saying, who hear the word of God. They all hear. They all hear this word that James calls in his letter the implanted seed, or he says the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And it's not just salvation in the sense of escape from death and hell, but salvation that would actually heal your soul and transform you into a person that overflows with the fruit of the kingdom of God. All of the groups in this parable hear this word, but its effect on their lives depends on how they hear and how they listen. The first group doesn't really listen at all. They hear the word, it's spoken to them, but their hearts are hard, like a path that people walk on. And so the seed just bounces off and the birds come and snatch it away. They never really listen to God's word. And so as a result, they don't believe and find salvation. The second group listens quickly and responsively. They welcome the good news, the gospel, gladly, with joy. But the word of God only goes so deep. There's this genuine response of joy to the word of God, but it doesn't penetrate deep into their hearts. They have this surface level relationship with the word of God. And so when things get tough, then the tough things seem more real than God's word, and they fall away just as quickly and easily as they jump in. The third group, like the second group, listens to the word of God in a genuine way. And unlike the second group, the word does take root in their lives. They're able even to withstand times of difficulty. But what trips them up is something a lot more subtle. It's the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of life. In other words, they get distracted. Distracted by worry. They buy the lie that, you know, they need to control everything in their lives. They buy the lie that they can't trust God to give them what they need. They worry, and they get distracted. Distracted by wealth, they get so caught up in the value system of the world that making money and maybe even making lots of money seems to be a priority. And they get distracted by pleasure. In the words of C.S. Lewis, they're far too easily pleased. This is what Lewis writes. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go... Sorry. Basically, whenever I read C.S. Lewis, I'm probably going to get choked up. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. Far too easily pleased. And so by worry and wealth and pleasure, the third group gets distracted. They start missing the point of what listening to the word of God is all about. And the result is that the word doesn't bear fruit in their lives. Luke's account says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. Matthew and Mark's account reads a little bit differently. It says, still others like seed, this is Mark, sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The word takes root, but because of the distractions of wealth and worry and desire, it never produces the fruit it's supposed to. The word isn't allowed to mature into this fruit-bearing plant that it's made to be. The hearer doesn't become the person that the word of God is supposed to make them into. Somewhere along the line, they get distracted, and the result is that they miss the whole point. That's the point of planting a seed, right? That you get a full plant that is bearing fruit. And then there's the last group, of course. And that's the group that's the people, the listeners, the kind of listeners that Jesus is calling us to be. And so let's read what Jesus says about them. He says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The good listener has one thing in common with everyone else in the parable, and you already said it. What is it? They hear the word. But they hear the word of God with an honest and good heart, is the language. In other words, they're not deceiving themselves. They don't have ulterior motives to not listen to the word of God. They don't have hearts that are hardened against the word. When they listen with integrity and honesty. It's genuine listening. We might think of the word open-minded today, where they're saying, I'm actually going to really listen in honesty. And so in that, I think this group is distinguished from that first group that's represented by the rocky path, whose hearts are hardened against the word. And so that's the first step, really listening with integrity and honesty. I'm actually going to give this a real listen. And then, though, the good listeners that Jesus talks about, they hold on tightly to the word of God. The NIV has retain, but maybe that doesn't quite capture the intensity of like cling to, hold on tightly. These listeners understand the value of the word such that they invest in knowing it and letting it take deep root in their lives. And in that, I think they're distinguished primarily from the kind of rocky soil. The people who are very excited about the word of God, who receive it with joy, but it only goes so deep. And maybe there's not quite the valuing of it to say, I'm really going to hold on tight. I'm going to invest. I'm going to let this thing penetrate my whole life. The good listeners hold on tightly to the word of God, digging deeper into it and letting it dig deeper into them. And finally, of course, the good listener produces fruit. Or rather, the word of God produces fruit in and through the good listener. That's the culmination of the listening process. It's the indication that the word has done its job. The seed becomes a shoot, which puts down roots, and which is then able to mature and produce fruit. And it's what distinguishes this good listener that Jesus is talking about from all the other listeners. The word of God is actually productive in the listener's life. It brings real change and real fruit. And over in the Gospels, Jesus speaks to that reality, that listening involves living out what you hear. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus tells this great story of these two builders. It's a Sunday school story. I heard it listening up, and it wasn't until I was an adult that I really heard what Jesus was saying. He says there's a wise builder and a foolish builder. And what distinguishes the wise builder from the foolish is that they both hear the word of God, they both hear Jesus' word, but the wise builder actually does it, actually listens to the point where he puts it into practice. And we see a hint of it here as well. And you might have been like, why did Ben keep reading about the mother and the brothers? Well, it's kind of connected here. So Luke 8:19, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." And he replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." It's when we actually live out God's word that we complete the act of listening to it. It's when we actually live out God's word that we are able to hear it for all that it is. It's when we allow the word seed to be planted and take root and grow into a fruit-producing plant that we have truly listened. That's what Jesus would say. And Luke's gospel tells us that this takes perseverance or patience or endurance. In other words, it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just, "Oh yeah, I did that part." It's, we got to keep at it. Not all the fruit comes at once. But we produce fruit and we keep producing fruit. Of course, we saw that the rocky soil doesn't have that, because when the hard things come, they fall away. And the choked out plants don't have that either, because there's this distraction. And they never actually get to the point of producing this fruit. They never get to that mature point. But the good soil hears with an honest and good heart, holds fast to the word of God, and patiently, perseveringly, enduringly produces fruit, bears fruit. And so that's kind of the message this morning. I know there's not really, this is like a message to take to other messages. This is a message to take to Scripture. But I'd encourage us to take a look at how we're listening. Watch how you listen. That's what Jesus says. Watch how you listen. Be careful how you listen. And this is a room of people all over the map. So some of you might have hard hearts. You've heard the Christian message, but there's really no room in your heart for it. And so the challenge, I think, from this for you would be, are you listening with an honest and good heart? Are you giving the message a fair chance? Are you being open-minded? Or is there some prejudice that's kind of distorting how you listen? So that's an important first step, I think, just to say, okay, I'm going to really give this a shot. Listen with an honest and good heart. Some of us in the room have received the word of God with joy, maybe very recently, maybe a long time ago, and that's awesome. That's beautiful. An important question, though, is to ask this. Is your relationship with God just based on a single moment in the past? Or are you investing deeply into knowing his word and having it transform you? Because the moment was important, but Jesus is saying that, you know, just a joyful moment isn't going to stand the test of time. We need to be invested in what he says. Let it penetrate our hearts. Hold tightly to it. And some of us have known God's word in a deep way and have clung to it through difficult times. But the question, I think, for us would be, are you still letting the word of God produce new and fuller fruit in your life? Are you growing into someone fit for heaven, or are you distracted by the things of earth? I think a great litmus test for this is the Sermon on the Mount. I heard a sermon on the Mount. That good. You can preach a sermon on the sermon. That began by asking this question: do you think that Jesus is smart? That was a fun question. In other words, do you actually think that the stuff he says is worth living out day to day, basing how we live on it? And I already mentioned that the parable that Jesus tells at the end of the Sermon on the Mount has to do with listening. This picture of the two builders. The wise builder listens and puts it into practice. The foolish builder listens and doesn't put it into practice. And I love where that's positioned, because sometimes we can hear about this kind of listening thing and say, okay, well, what am I supposed to be listening to? What exactly is this? And where Jesus has that parable right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you can't even ask that question. You'd be like, oh, it's about all the stuff he just said in the last three chapters. And so I'd encourage you this week to go and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And ask, are these the principles I'm living by? I'm pretty sure it'll be challenging to almost all of us in the room, including myself. But it's a beautiful challenge to say, hey, I want to listen to this word and let it penetrate my life to the point where my life is actually looking like this. What a beautiful thing. And then some of us, just the last kind of point, some of us, we are seeking to let God's words transform our lives, but maybe you're feeling disheartened. Because there's not maybe as much fruit as you hoped, or it's a slower process, or I have to keep doing this, whatever that looks like. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, Jesus does say here that this does take patience and perseverance and endurance, but Jesus is with you in it all. It's his way. You're walking with him, and he's actually working these things in you through his word that he's speaking and through his spirit with us. And the harvest of it all is so worth it. And that's the end of the parable, right? Where we see this harvest hundredfold. So beautiful. Let me pray. And before I do, though, just a reminder that we'll have some people up here to pray with you if you would like prayer. So the worship team will come up. They'll be playing, singing. It'll be lovely. And you can respond in a lot of different ways. Maybe it's sitting in your chair just reflecting. Maybe it's you pick up that Bible, you read through the Sermon on the Mount, or you start reading through the Sermon on the Mount, thinking through that. Maybe it's that, though, you come up and get prayer. And so that's what these people at the front are here for. Please come if you want prayer for anything to do with the message or anything else. Come and get prayer. So why don't I pray, and then we'll go into that time. Lord, thank you for your word and how beautiful and valuable it is. And thank you for just like the Bible that we get to just be full of your word. And so I pray that just wherever we're at, that you would help us to be listeners who really value your word, who take it to hold it fast. Let it grow deep in our lives and in perseverance. That it would produce fruit in our lives. It look more and more like you. Make this world look more and more like your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.